Thank you so very much. I will say yes, and that's the responsible thing to do. When the Lord speaks, we should submit. Good morning. It's really a joy to see all of you in the Lord's house on this lovely Lord's Day morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I just want to say thank you to those persons that we viewed just a few moments ago that serve in the trenches, especially those in the nursery, for their labor of love week in and week out. They take care of our children. Like our sister said, they love them and treat them as precious gifts from God. And then those in the media, under the direction of Pastor Kyle. Let's give it up for our volunteers. They kind of make things happen around here, and we thank God for them. I, too, would want to extend a very warm welcome to our special guests. Thank you so much for being here today, and I trust that your time with us would be inspirational and informative as well. Next Sunday is a very special day for us. It's our friends and family day, and you've heard already, we want you to invite your friends and your family to be here with us in worship. We are also launching a brand new series, What on Earth Am I Here For? And I'm holding in my hand one of the books that we are going to use over the next several weeks. This is the devotional guide. Very, very helpful. I was perusing it a little bit yesterday and a little bit this morning. A whole lot of good information. And the devotional guide we are going to be, that would be available tomorrow. But that book there, it's a hardcover, and Pastor Roach told me when he was in Nassau, he checked at one of the commercial stores. What was that going for? $27? $27. And we are asking you to make a contribution of $15, and you can, I mean, that's almost 50%. But that's how we are around here. This is a generous church with generous people. We want to get the material in your hand. Your growth is far more important to us than anything else. And so we have those at the Resource Center today, and the other devotional guide, we would have those, like I said, by tomorrow or Tuesday. I want to thank those of you that assisted us last Monday, thank you for your labor of love. And there's been a whole lot said since Monday, but I believe that as a church we did the responsible thing in keeping with the mandate that I believe we have from our Lord, and it's He who we take our marching orders from. But let me reinforce what I've been saying to you. This wasn't a contest for us. This was a stand that was taken, and there's absolutely nothing to gloat over or to brag about, because at the end of the day, our primary mandate is to seek and save. Jesus says, I came to seek and save those that were lost. That's the mandate of our church, and let's not be distracted now. Let's focus on the main thing. The main thing is seeking to rescue the perishing and care for the dying, and let them know that the love of Jesus is extended to all in sundry. Exodus chapter 4 for our meditation this morning as we prepare our hearts to gather around the Lord's table. A very familiar account. The book of Exodus and chapter 4. And chapter 4 gives us Moses' response to God's call. God had called Moses, commissioned him to be the deliverer, the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And at this point, Moses was in seclusion. And so when God summoned him, verse 1 says, but Moses protested again. What if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, he's talking about Pharaoh and the Egyptians, what if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you. And Father, this morning as we come into this place, our desire is to really hear from you. Thank you for ministering to us through music and song and prayers. Thank you for the privilege of giving back to you a portion of that which you have entrusted to us. And so now, Lord, as we open the sacred pages of this book, we just ask that your Spirit would be with us, that your love would envelop us, and that your truth would sustain us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Christina Miller, are you here? Krishna Miller, that's the parent or the child? The parent? Krishna? Okay, just one of the reps there would. Okay. The context of what we just read revolves around the call of Moses, like I've said before, to be the deliverer of Israel. At this point in Moses' life, he's about 80 years old. And he's a fugitive from Egyptian justice. At this time, he's living with his father-in-law, Jethro, and he's working for his father-in-law, keeping Jethro's sheep. At this stage in Moses' life, he's been hiding out on the backside of the desert for about 40 years. He does not appear to be a likely choice for the ministry that God had in mind for him. And so when the call comes from God to Moses, Moses gives God every excuse he can think of to get out of what the Lord was asking him to do. And I counted five in chapters 3 and 4. Firstly, Moses says in chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, verse 11 and 12, he says, I can't take on this challenge because I'm not worthy. And he was saying to the Lord, Lord, when I look at where I came from, this is beyond me. I'm not worthy. Secondly, the second excuse that he gives, he says, I don't even know your name. He's talking to God. Thirdly, he says, listen, if I go to these people, they're not going to believe me. So it's going to be a futile exercise. That's in chapter 3, 13 and 14. His fourth excuse was in chapter 4. He says, Lord, I have some limitations. I have a speech impediment. So if I really try to lead these people, how am I going to rally them when I have problems? And then he says, finally, he says, Lord, you came to the wrong person. Couldn't you find someone else? How come you ended up at my address? But after Moses makes all of his excuses, he had enough presence of mind and heart to go and try to do what God had called him to do. But in the middle of this discourse, in the middle of this account, God asked Moses a very straightforward, what I would conclude was a very simple question. And that's the question I want us to explore this morning. For I believe the response to that question holds some significance even for us today. And like I said before, the question is rather obvious and simplistic. The Lord asked him, Moses, what is it you have in your hands? And his response was, a rod. All he had in his hand that day was a simple shepherd's staff. And for Moses, all he had in his hand was a dry, dead stick. For to him, that's all it was. But in the eyes of the Lord, it was so much more than that. And so this morning, I want us, as we examine this text and see what Moses really had in his hand, but as we do, let's take a look at our own lives to see the things we also carry in our hands. And I want us to see that just as God used Moses, or used what Moses had in his hands for his glory, he desires to use the things that we carry in our hand as well. And so, together, let's notice these truths as we examine the question, what is it in your hands? Three observations from the text I would like to bring to your attention this morning. Firstly, Moses held his personality in his hands. When Moses said a rod, he was referring to his, like I said before, his shepherd's staff. This was a stick, nothing significant, a stick about 6 feet tall or 6 feet in length. It was used by a shepherd in a variety of ways. It was used to guide. It was used to lead the sheep. It was used to support the shepherd and help him climb up the steep hills in Palestine to look for the wayward sheep. It was used to defend the sheep against the attack of wild animals. Moses depended on that shepherd's staff or that rod every single day of his life. And that rod, that staff, identified Moses' profession. It confirms the fact that he was a shepherd. For persons of another vocation didn't carry around a shepherd rod. So his identity was tied to the rod that he carried. When people saw that rod in his hands, they would immediately know that what Moses' profession was. It also represented all that Moses possessed. For it was a reminder that he did not even own the sheep that he kept. They belonged to his father-in-law. He was an employee. And so he did not own the farm. He did not own the sheep. The only thing that Moses had after 80 years of life was a rod. The rod was a constant reminder that for Moses he had never reached his full potential in the Lord. 40 years earlier, you know the story, God had moved on his heart to deal with the injustice that he was exposed to. When he saw the children of Israel being marginalized by the Egyptians. But Moses couldn't wait on the Lord. He was a little young and hot-headed. And so after he saw the injustices that was going on, he decided to take matters into his own hands. He ran ahead of God, killed the Egyptian that day, prematurely, and he was on his way on the run. And so, because he handled his life the way he was, and he had spent now 40 years on the backside of the desert, and the most he could do is raise sheep or protect and care for sheep. Here was the guy that was just one chair away from being the Pharaoh in Egypt. One position away of really being in charge of almost a global power. Because during the time of the Pharaohs, the Egyptians, they were the Americas of their day. The cradle of civilization. The bedrock of commerce. And Moses was sitting right there as Pharaoh's successor.
One bad move. And it seems to have been just slipping away. It's a reminder to us that choices carry with it